ॐ सहनावतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सह वीर्यं करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः हरिः ॐ तत्सत् विल् कण्टिन्यू अवर् discussion on Katha Upanishad. I was giving an alternative interpretation than taking the story directly as it were. So the important point is, there was one, our unregenerated mind, an impure mind, it has some amount of faith, but at the same time it was too much attached to the worldly things. So this mind decided one day that I must go to a higher state of happiness. Higher loka means higher state of happiness. For that, there is a ritual. It is called Vishwajit, conquering this world, not the other world, but this world. Ultimately, Vishwajit means completely transcending this world forever. So there are two ways. Temporarily transcending means what? You go to a Swargaloka and enjoy there, again come back, again do something, again go. But true Vishwajit, conquering this universe, happens only when we get liberation. This Upanishad covers all the three. I said human beings can be classified into three ways. The lowest mind, middle type of mind, highest type of mind. The lowest type of mind only desires happiness in this world, because that person has no foresight or foresight to know that there could be higher worlds than this world. Most of the people are progressing. We should not even blame them. It is a slow development of the understanding, medha. A little more understanding person, taking the clue from the Shastras, Vedas, tell there is also a higher world, higher type of happiness, and it is possible to attain, and there is a way, and Vedas do teach us. These two, happiness in this world on earth as well as in heavens, this is a technical name. It is called Abhyudaya, and there is also another type of happiness which is eternal, infinite, and that is called moksha, and there is a technical name for that, it is called nishreyasa. So it is not something from the beginning we can choose. It is a point we have to be clear. We are like children. A child doesn't say, I want a first class formula car, because he doesn't have any idea about it. But when a person reaches the first stage, natural desire will be happiness in this world. When his maturity goes further, then he says there are also higher types of happinesses. Information is obtained only from the scriptures. Then he desires that one. And when he experiences the higher type of happiness, he realizes this is not the highest type of happiness. Then his mind turns, and then this person says, I want that happiness from which I can never come back. This is the process indicated through the three boons that Nachiketa asks. So, what we discussed so far in our last class is, that there was a father who was immature mind, and there was a son who was a mature mind. That is what the Upanishad literally tries to tell us. But our interpretation is, the father is in the first stages of understanding. The son is possessed of much more wisdom. That means the same mind has grown in maturity, and then it looks back. And this is the process that happens in every sadhaka. How many of us go on at some point suddenly, look back and regret and say, why did I do so many things? I should not have done. Here is something much more wonderful. But why did not I have the buddhi? There is a problem here because everything happens at the right time. But regret is also good if it prompts him to take up a higher life. Regret is bad. He gets enormous satisfaction. I am a great person because I am regretting. Most people, they just happen to get fixed there only and they don't move forward. So, in the second interpretation, the same mind has become very pure, so pure that it could look back and it could discriminate. It had obtained the power of discrimination between what is eternal, what is non-eternal. So, what should be done, what should not be done. This is the background with which we have to understand the Upanishad that is going to come here. I also have mentioned that when we reach a certain stage, then our sight also looks further. I gave an example in earlier classes. A person is standing at the foot of a mountain. He doesn't know that there are many mountains behind this mountain. He could see only the peak of this mountain. And then when he climbs and when he is about to think, I have reached my destination, suddenly he finds something much higher. Then naturally his journey takes. So, when a person understands there is something better, from where is he going to get? From the scriptures. So, here the relationship between this knowledge and our buddhi has to be understood. So, when we strive our level best to climb, this is a beautiful example because there are so many people who wish to have the higher thing but do not put forth any self-effort. Here the person not only he understands intellectually, he is convinced about it, but the same scripture through which he gets this knowledge also tells the means how to attain it. Every point of our development, the scripture becomes knowledge to that extent. I am giving you a small example. 100 years back, if anybody has to tell, there is something called computer knowledge, and if you study, you can get a good job. If anybody were to tell, a sage were to tell, then nobody would have understood. Why? Because nobody knew what was this computer science. But a sage who knows next century, like Swami Vivekananda predicted long before China's uprise, I see that a nation, either Russia or most probably China, is going to be a superpower. How many people understood at that time? China was in the most pitiable conditions at that time. Now, coming back to our example, that the scripture is already catering from A to Z. When our buddhi is ready, then it understands the purport of the scripture to that extent. So, it doesn't remain mere words. It becomes convinced that this is a fact, it is possible. And for that, of course, examples are also needed. Unless a person sees some computer scientist, computer activity, it is impossible for people to understand. It is a science, it is possible, lot of infinite possibilities are there. So, scripture, what it tells is 100% correct, whether it tells about this world or whether it tells about God and Atma. But according to our development of the buddhi, we can only understand the scripture only at that level. Then, as it matures through experience, through understanding, through prayer, good activities, etc., dharma, etc., then its understanding becomes deeper and its quest becomes deeper. Scripture is telling, but whether our buddhi is capable of understanding it and accepting as truth. That's why I mentioned Sri Ramakrishna's parables are superb. Any parable contains layers of meaning. To make this point clear, Sri Ramakrishna gives one parable which gives a clue to understand other parables. The woodcutter. So I am pointing out this one. The holy man said, go forward. Did he go forward immediately? He did not. He was quite happy with what he was doing. One day he must have been very tired, very unhappy. Then he said, holy man has said that I want to escape. Maybe what he said would help me to escape this kind of suffering. Then only he went forward. Okay, having gone forward, oh-ho, the holy man's words are absolutely true. He told me to go forward. Had he started immediately? No. Second time also, he stopped there and he enjoyed something. Then even amidst the enjoyment, there must have been terrible suffering. This is the law. Nobody wants to escape happiness. Everyone wants to escape only suffering. So even though he got sandalwood, even though he became immensely rich, these things will not prevent us from suffering. This is a fact we have to separate, whether it is a poor man or rich man, whether a person has or doesn't have. Sukha dukkha have nothing to do with having or not having. It is a state of mind obtained through prarabdha or the results of actions done in the past. So this parable tells us that a man progresses only slowly. All the time he is progressing, but it will take time. Point clear? Okay. So the interpretation that I have given, we have to understand each person, each one of us, our soul, our understanding will be at some point of time in the shoes of Nachiketa's father. What is it? He has some faith, not 100% faith, some faith. He has a desire. I want, Vedas tell, there is a higher state. And then he also wants to attain to that state. It is nothing but higher knowledge, nothing but higher state of happiness, higher state of happiness. This is the key factor. Knowledge without joining happiness with it will not inspire anybody. It is only the hope that this higher knowledge will give me higher happiness that alone can prompt us actually to enter into activity, to put it into practice. So this is the background. Let us keep. And the Upanishad is a beautiful, this story is to prepare us for what has to come. Even though it is like a peg to hang deep truths of the Upanishads for us, the story itself has a lot of psychological meaning for all of us. It helps us to understand ourselves better. The first mantra goes like this. Om Ushanhavai Vajashravasa Sarva Vedasam Tadau Tasya Nachiketa Nama Putra Asa. Once, desirous of heaven, the son of Vajashravas, his name, another name was Gautama. Gautama is actually the real name. Vajashravasa is a kind of title, like Chaturvedi, Trivedi, Dvivedi, like that. Once a Trivedi in Germany came and asked me, what is Veda? His forefathers must have been some scholars, either one person or whatever it is. He got it as a title, PhD, like that. And here also British government used to give Rai Bahadur, like that. And once I met the grandson of Mahatma Gandhi. He was a filmographer in South Africa. When you look at him, there is no resemblance between Mahatma Gandhi and him. All right. So this person, Vajashravas, gave away in sacrifice all that he possessed. He had a son, Nachiketa, by name. The Upanishad is extremely brief in telling us this story. Now, what we are going to do is to analyze this properly. First of all, there was a person. He was a Vaidika. Vaidika means follower of Veda. He has faith in the Vedas. That's why he is called Vaidika. He is also called an Astika. I mentioned many times before, this is very important. According to Hinduism, a person who says, I believe in God, but do not believe in the Vedas, is not considered an Astika. He is considered as a Nastika. Na Asti. God doesn't exist. A person who may say, I do not believe in God, but says, I believe in the Vedas, he is called Astika. So this person was an Astika. What was his name? Gautama. What was his family name? Vaja Shravasa. Vaja means Anna. Shravasa means famed. So probably his father must have been very popular in the local community for performing many yajnas. Why? He had become popular as a giver away of food. People usually give away food when a yajna or like our pujas, etc. are done. Not that it could not be done, but usually that was the connection. That means his father was also an Astika. He was also performing a lot of yajnas and yagas, and he must have been doing it more than other people, and he must have been feeding lots of people, and many people must have found the food very tasty, and that is why they will come to this person. Whenever they hear this person is doing some yajna yaga, they will flock to him more. You can understand, I am also deriving a little bit of fun. Supposing there are two ashramas in Bangalore. Both ashramas are doing puja. Say Ramakrishna's worship or Holy Mother's worship. One ashrama is well known for its wonderful prasada. And most people, where do you think they will go? Because Hindu worship is also always be and be. Bhajan and bhojan. So, earlier, you know, Swami Purushottamanandji used to do wonderful bhajan, and the cooks there are really marvelous cooks. Even now, how many people go there comparative to this? Even when Gururaj comes here also, people only attend more there. So there must be some reason for that. It's for you to analyze and find out why more people go there. Okay, so this person got a title, but he was also a Vaidika, an Astika. And Vedas tell us there are higher worlds. And by performing certain things, one can go to the higher worlds. So this person, what did he do? That Ushanha means desirous of heaven. Heaven means higher happiness. Always know higher happiness. So what did he do? Sarva Vedasam Dadau. The Upanishad doesn't tell us, the commentators tell us that he performed a particular ritual called Vishwajit. What is Vishwajit? He conquered this world. He conquered this world, Vishwajit. So I told you earlier that there are two meanings, we can understand it. Vishwajit means this earthly, earth is called Vishwa, and Jit means he conquered. That means he had got all the happiness that could be derived from this earth, but he was not satisfied. He wanted to have higher happiness, and this desire to have higher happiness is a teleological feeling within each one of us. Teleology tells us what are the our true nature, and like as an example, if there is a mango seed, it has a teleological urge to flourish itself, manifest itself as a most wonderful, complete mango tree with full of flowering and fruits especially. So teleology is a part of a philosophy called epistemology. That is the final things. Teleology means final things. Final things means when a person goes on evolving, what is the highest that man can reach, and after that he cannot reach anything, that is called teleology. In this example, when a mango seed becomes a complete fruit-bearing tree, there is nothing else for it to reach. Until that time, it goes on growing, then it goes on yielding at that stage only more and more and more fruits. It's best it will do. This is called teleology. And every person, every creature in fact, each soul, Swamiji did not confine it only to human beings. He says, any living creature, even amoeba, the first creature of life, one-celled creature, even it is evolving because there is a teleological urge in it which is making it grow. Okay, so this person also had that faith. What is this called? He is possessed of some amount of Shraddha, not complete Shraddha. What is the Shraddha? Guru Shastra Vakyeshu Satya Buddhi Avadharana. Complete faith that what Guru says and the Vedas say is true. That Buddhi is there, but not complete faith. Now, do we have complete faith in Sri Ramakrishna's words? We all go on touting that Sri Ramakrishna is an incarnation of God. We all go on touting each soul is potentially divine. If each soul is potentially divine, am I divine or not? Then why am I holding to Kama and Kanchana so much? That means we have some faith, but not complete faith. If we have total faith, then we will not be just taking rest. For that I gave it a story last class. You remember, Sri Ramakrishna, a thief was lying in a room and then he came to know invaluable treasure was in the other room and the partition is very thin. This what he is indicating? We are the jivas bound and on the other side there is Parabrahma. The partition between me and Brahma is very thin, and if I know that I will be the most happy person when if I can identify my, if I can possess that, possess self-knowledge, possess Brahma, I will be the most happiest or happy person on earth. But the usage of words is very important. I must be a thief. Who is a thief? He has intense desire to possess wealth. Unfortunately, we wanted to possess without having the desire. That is the problem with us. We have not yet become thieves. We must become first thieves. We must qualify ourselves to become thieves. Means what? Intense desire to possess invaluable treasure. That is what is called to become a thief. It means to become proper sadhakas. So he was performing a yajna, it is called Vishwajit, conquering the whole world. Another meaning of conquering the whole world from a Vedantic and psychological viewpoint is the whole Vishwa lies where? In my mind. That means if I conquer my mind, Uddharet Atmana Atmanam, uplift your mind by whom? By your own mind. If I can conquer myself, I have conquered the whole world. And if I am a slave to my mind, I am a slave to this whole world. So Vishwajit can be taken in that meaning. So he wanted to perform, but this immature mind at that stage only understood he has to give away something. So then what will he get? He will go to heaven. Now in the olden days, this Vishwajit used to be performed by two sorts of people. First was kings who conquered. He became a chakravarti, we call it. There is a difference between king and chakravarti, Raja and chakravarti. Raja means he is the in charge of one particular small piece of kingdom. Chakravarti means he is Akbar Chakravarti. He has conquered all the inimical things and he gets yearly some, what is called, rent or whatever it is he gets to let them live. So such people, when a person has conquered all these things and if he becomes an Astika, we are talking about a Chakravarti, then such persons, some of them, perform this Vishwajit Yaga. What? And it is performed in one day. The whole yaga has to be completed in one single day. What is it? This person, having obtained the entire wealth, one day he announces, after 2 months, on a very auspicious tithi, I am going to perform this sacrifice called Vishwajit. What it means to the people living in those days is, whatever I have accumulated, I am going to give, distribute the whole thing, all of you come and receive it. Of course, there are certain types of categories there. How it, for Brahmanas, some type of gifts. For Kshatriyas, some type of gifts. For workers, some type of gifts. Among Brahmanas also, those who are highly respected as very learned people, Ritviks, etc., he has to give some type of gifts, etc. But the point is, the whole accumulated money has to be given away because he already possesses his own kingdom. This is all extra he got. So he wants to do that. Kings used to do it, Vishwajit Yaga. But the whole thing must be given away in one day. There are some tribes, I think in America, where they are so powerful, and throughout the year, they go on accumulating a lot of cows, etc., horses, etc. And then yearly once, they have this kind of ceremony. So that person comes, very strange ritual he performs. He gets up on a platform, says, I conquered this fellow, I kicked out this fellow, I destroyed this fellow. His glory he himself proclaims to the whole world, and then he has to give away all that he possessed throughout the year, whatever he got. This is a very strange ritual. People do that. But he gets the satisfaction. What satisfaction? That if among all the people I am a very great person. But at the same time, he doesn't retain one single what we call paisa, not even a holy paisa. We know what is a holy paisa? Chillikan kantanga. In the olden days, there used to be one hole used to be there. We used to put it our small fingers and then do like that. So this was there in some parts of the world. Somehow people understood. Then he becomes same with the other people. This is to make that there should be no distinction between rich people and poor people. We are a community. We must all have equal possession, not anything. It's a very noble idea. Anyway, then the Brahmanas used to do it. Everything that they possess must be given away. So what is happening? This gentleman called Gautama Rishi, he was Vajashravasa. His father or grandfather were famed for performing many yajnas, yagas, and he was continuing the same tradition. And he must have been also feeding people. Sarva Vedasam Dadau. That this person, Dadau, this verb is, he had given away. Actually, he had not given away. He was in the process of giving away. Process of giving away. So what was he doing? He must have had some servants. So he told the servants, bring my cows. That's where the what is called, the story thickens here. So servants were bringing. He must have whispered to them, bring all old and useless stuff. That means, cows, you bring them, because I wish to retain all the best cows to myself. Cows were called wealth in those days. And that which is useless practically, which I can do without, I'm not going to lose anything. So such things I want to give away. But I will come to the meaning of that one as. So, tasyaha, to that person called Vajashravasa, putra asa, there was a son called son. And his name was Nachiketa Nama. His name was Nachiketa. The very meaning of the word Nachiketa is he who is desirous of knowing, just desirous of knowing. Not science, not only mathematics, but everything he wants to know. And there is no end to his quest to know. This is one meaning. Another meaning is, he wants to know What is true knowledge? What Sri Ramakrishna tells M, which later on he understood, to be knowledgeable means to know who you are. To be ignorant means not to know who you are. Because you remember, Ramakrishna asked, what type of wife you have? Well, she is good, but I am afraid she is ignorant. Immediately the axe had come down. In Bengali, you know, beautiful expression. Tumi buji gyani, you are a gnani, you are a man of knowledge. You have got some bookish knowledge, that's not knowledge. Otherwise, like that scholar, did you know how to swim? Your whole life is gone. Yes, we are all like that. True knowledge is that which saves us. True knowledge is that which keeps us happy. Are we happy all the time? Is PhDs and all those people, are they happy all the time? At least are they happy most of the time? And are they aware there are higher types of happiness? We discussed 5 levels of happiness. Vishayananda, the happiness, pleasure that we get from sense objects. Higher than that is deep intellectual knowledge like Einstein, Max Planck, etc., or Jagadish Chandra Bose, etc. Higher than that is the knowledge combined with very fine feelings called aesthetic happiness. Aesthetic happiness is far superior to intellectual knowledge. That's why Prince Charles Darwin, he regretted and said that I wasted my time in these physical things. If only I had an aesthetic sense of music, how happy my life would have been. Because he understood at that stage, I may be knowing so much dry knowledge, but I don't have any really pleasure or joy in my life. And that comes only from aesthetic happiness. Higher than aesthetic happiness is what we call bhajanananda, or what we call dharmananda, leading a moral life. That is next one step below Brahmananda. Brahmananda, of course, is the paripurna ananda. There is no other way. So, this Vajashravasa, his faith was little. He was attached to this world. So, what is the correlation? If we have attachment to this world, then our vision is clouded to that extent. So, that is why you say anasakta yoga, karma yoga. What is karma yoga? Anasakta. So, even if we are in the midst of terrible suffering, dukkha, sanyoga, viyogam. Viyogam means I am completely unaffected. Even though I am surrounded by a terrible amount of suffering. That is the meaning. So, this Nachiketa is there. One more point, then we will move on to the next mantra. These are all called mantra. Bhagavad Gita, they are called shlokas. But here they are called mantras because these are coming in the Vedas themselves. Okay. Shruti. Anything that occurs in the Shruti is called mantra. Anything that occurs in the Smriti is called shloka. So, this gentleman decided to perform this sacrifice called Vishwajit, and he did it in one day. Many people came. He must have asked his servants to bring all the presents he had to distribute later on, but he was keeping the best for himself. The point we have to understand, and we are going to come to this very soon, this is an introduction to that, is that he was trying to give away worthless, useless and cows which are on the verge of death. Is it possible that anybody would give away like that, much less this Vajashravasa? Is it possible that the people who are also ready there, do you think you will accept? So, how the Upanishad is trying to tell us that he is attached. This is the real feeling. This is called ninda. Ninda means blaming or finding fault with a person in order to praise something. Ninda stutyartham. So, if you are saying this person is bad, it is not to criticize this person, but it is to glorify another person who is observing the truthfulness, etc. So with this we will move to the next point. So what did we understand? There was a person called Vajrasrevasaha, and he got this title because his father must have been performing lot of sacrifices, and in those sacrifices he must have been giving away lot of presents, and he was feeding people with sumptuous food. So Vajas means Anna, means food. Shravasa means well known for the donation of food. Food means not only food and many other gifts too. So this person was born to that person. His other name was Gautama, and he decided to perform a special sacrifice called Vishwajit, and that Vishwajit can be done only one day, must be done in one day. I said that kings in the olden days used to do perform these things. Or some grihasthas who have reached a particular age. Nowadays what we call Shashti Abdi Purti Utsava. When a person attains 60 years of age, then he thinks Purna Ayurdaya. Even though we say 100 years, here 60 is the 100 years. You have to add, there is no guarantee, and on that day a special ceremony is done, and all the family people, relatives, friends, poor people are given. After the performance of the puja, a balance is brought out. The man is made to sit on one side, and equivalent to his weight, either it is gold or it is only checkbook will not count here, because one checkbook will do, one check will do whatever money he has got, and that will not lift him up. So whatever, whether it is vegetables, silver coins, or some rice, etc., anything a person is capable of, and that must be distributed away. The idea is, after 60, if we happen to live, and then that is bonus, but you have completed your 100 years of your life. Sata Aishman Bhav. That's why this a bit goodbye. If we see each other later on, God's grace, otherwise this is the farewell party. That is the idea. So a grihastha who has decided either to take up the sannyasa, etc., he will perform this kind of thing in his own small way, give away whatever he possesses. Usually it indicates that he is going to take sannyasa. So according to the interpretation of the story we have given, that mind must have first been attached, then it must have been analyzing its own actions. It must have thought, if I want to become sannyasi, why am I so much attached to these things? By the way, sannyasa means it is the highest type of happiness. You have always to understand. Hinduism divided life into four stages. Each stage is called what? Ashrama. Ashrama means monastery. Monastery means where people live a spiritual life. It is a stage of spiritual development from a lower stage to a higher stage. But it doesn't happen according to the age. It happens according to maturity. That is important point for us to understand. So this person might have been wishing either a heavenly world, or he was ready to prepare to give up the world. And in those days people used to do it, take up sannyasin's life. Either way, he was attached to the world. Then we will proceed to the next one. Tamha Kumaram Santam Dakshinasu Niyamanasu Shraddha Avivesha So Amanyata. When the presents were being distributed, filial anxiety. Filial means devotion to the parents, called filial anxiety, about the welfare of his father, entered the heart of Nachiketa, the son of Vajrasrevas, who was still a boy, and he thought. Now we will go to the next mantra and come back again. Pitodakaha jagdhatrinaha dugdhadohaha nirindriyaha ananda namate lokaha tan sagachati ta dadat. These cows have drunk water for the last time, eaten grass for the last time, have yielded all their milk, and are barren. Joyless verily are the worlds which a person attains when he gives these kinds of dakshina presents to other people in the yajna. Why I brought these things? Because then only the second mantra makes a meaning. What is it? This person had a son called Nachiketa. He was a refined person, a pure person. That means by this time, this person's mind has become pure. He was trying to give away gifts which are not so useful. He must have given away some gifts in the past, and he is trying to give away these things. Suddenly he thought, I want higher life, either sannyasa or desire to reach heaven. Either way, why am I behaving like this? I have to give up the whole thing. If I want to sannyasa, I have to give up all attachments to the householder's life. If I want to go to heaven, it is like a dying and being reborn. So if I am going to die, what am I going to carry along with me? This is a well-known fact. This is Bill Gates, what is he going to carry? He can't even carry his body. This is a well-known fact. For this, you don't need any scriptural words. Our day-to-day experience is enough for this. So, this Kumara, what is the meaning of Kumara? A boy who is not capable of generating children. That means he is not of age. But what happened to him? He was Shraddha Avivesha. He was possessed by Shraddha. Shraddha means total faith in the words of the scriptures, as though he has total faith in God. And with that eyes of Shraddha, he started looking at it, and then he was seeing is that what he was doing previously, according to our interpretation. Why was I so much attached? I have to give away everything. Then only I will get everything. If I am going to go to higher life, higher happiness comes only when we give up the lower happiness. The example is, if you want to go to a higher step, the lower step has to be totally given up. So this beautiful, analytical, rational thinking had entered this person. Clearly he understood, I am doing something wrong. But for the sake of people who cannot understand so much, as if the son was witnessing his father's miserliness. What type of miser? Pitodaka, these cows. In the olden days, mind you, no bank notes were there. This system had come long after. Vedika times, wealth means only cows. That is why Yajnavalkya, he said, drive all these cows to our ashrama. Janaka, King Janaka announced, whoever is the greatest knower of Brahman, for him I will give you 1,000 cows, both the horns completely covered with gold. So whoever, they must prove. The Yajnavalkya simply walked in, called his disciple, all the cows must have been ready, and then Janaka knows it. He says, drive these cows to our ashrama. Then the other Brahmanas who were expecting, probably they will get, and they challenged him and said, Yajnavalkya, do you think you are the greatest knower of Brahman? He said, no, I am only a desirer of cows. Indirectly saying, humility, no, I am not the greatest person. I have tremendous desire for, he neither had desires for the cows, and he was the greatest knower of Brahman. Then, of course, we have this most beautiful Upanishad, Brihadaranyaka Upanishad, Yajnavalkya Samvada with everybody else. Like we are going to have Nachiketa, Yamadharmaraja dialogue. Most of the Upanishads have dialogues. So, this person, reformed mind, higher mind, it looked back and said, why am I so much attached? So, Shraddha, unless Shraddha comes, he would not have had this comparison. Rationality always works between a higher valuable object and lower valuable object. And both objects must be known. Shraddha is that faculty which can discriminate between what is visible and what is invisible. Why do I say that? Because this world is visible to us. The other world is not visible. And yet it must be made visible, not with direct experience, but with faith. So there is heaven and there is this earth. Heavenly happiness is thousands and thousands, millions of times superior to earthly happiness. This is the discrimination. But how can I discriminate? I don't know about heaven. That is where faith in the scripture comes. Scripture tells that happiness cannot be compared to this kind of lowest happiness, etc. That is how reason also is satisfied. But first there must be Shraddha. Without Shraddha, he would have been like his own former self. So he said, Dakshinasu Niyamanasu. The literal meaning of this is, when the presents are being taken away, as I mentioned earlier, if you read this Upanishad's description of the cows, literally they have to carry the cow. Why? Pitodaka means they have drunk the last drop of water and not capable of drinking in their future life one more drop of water. That means they are on the point of death. Jagdhatrinaha. They have eaten away the last bit of grass blade. And even one blade, they have no energy to chew. Dugdhadoha. Whatever milk they had to give in their life, they had already given away. Often I compare Indian cows to Nachiketa's father's cows. Very, very little milk is yielding. That is why the milkmen have no option but to make it more in volume. Don't ask how. Yes, one milkman was said, do you mix water in milk? He said, no sir, I never do that. Oh, what is the explanation? He said, I mix milk in water. Not water in milk, milk in water. So, dugdha doha, nirindriya. Indriya means the power to live, the power to see, to hear, to move about. Nirindriya means they have absolutely no energy because there is no food, no water, and they are on the point of death. Literally, we can't take this meaning. It means they must be giving some milk, they must be some use, but they are not very valuable cows. That means he had valuable cows there separately and he is attached. He is not giving them away. This is the condition. Then whoever tries to give away worthless, inferior types of presents, then what would their future fate? Ananda nama te lokaha tansa gacchati sadadat. Whoever gives these kinds of presents to people, needy people, sahagachati, such a person attains what? Lokaha, sub-worlds. What worlds? Ananda nama te loka. Not ananda. This is ananda. Ananda means happy. Ananda means unhappy. The prefix an. In Sanskrit, whatever is the word, if you add one a, then it gives the opposite meaning. Shuchi, ashuchi. The English, it has got different, you know. Pure, impure. Happy, unhappy. Satisfaction, dissatisfaction. These are called prefixes. So, ananda loka nama te lokaha tan sagachati sa dadat. Joyless verily are the worlds which he attains who gives these presents. It is very true because it is a state of the mind. This world is a state of mind. Heaven is a state of mind. Hell also is a state of mind. A person may be having heavenly comforts, but he may be living in pure hell. I'm just giving one example, you know. How many householders? They are quite well-to-do. They have children. But maybe one son is drunkard, rowdy, and he is leading very immoral life. When a good parent looks at his own son, God has given him everything. Then what would be the state of the mind of such a person? Tell me. He must be profoundly happy, not for one moment, but for every 24 hours he must have been troubled. Both parents must have been troubled, or entire family members must be troubled looking at that person. Okay, I'm giving you, should not give this kind of example. Suppose there is a man who marries a very beautiful woman, and then he finds out that she never loves him. She loved somebody else. She is always on phone to somebody. I have actually seen these kind of things. That's why I am giving this example. When others look at this couple, what is their idea? How lucky this person must be that he got this beautiful wife. And whenever they come, this is also I have heard, she behaves towards her husband as though he is God himself for her in front of others. The moment others leave, then he knows what is going to come. So, what would be the state of this person? Imagine. So, state of happiness, state of unhappiness, both are states of the mind, consciousness. But sometimes, I also have to tell, there are worlds called heaven and hell. There, a special type of body suitable for experiencing that intense pleasure or intense suffering, then some body also has to be there. How you know? So, supposing you have to take a whip and beat somebody. Suppose you bring a buffalo. Do you think it will put a few blades of grass there? And you go on beating. What do you think it will be doing? So, it will go on eating this, happily munching. Okay, you are beating, a little bit of beating doesn't really matter to it. Yeah. But if a small child you have to beat with the same whip, then that body makes all the difference in the world. So we have to be very rational in understanding. There are worlds, both heaven and hell, because our scriptures tell us. But then they will have that appropriate body in order to derive that intense either pleasure or intense unhappy pain, whatever it is. This is what we are telling. So this boy, Nachiketa, remember it is the reformed mind of the same person. It said, I am doing something wrong. Now here I want to add something. Whenever any person wants to perform what we call yajna, what we call now puja, certain conditions have to be fulfilled. First of all, three conditions have to be fulfilled. The first is sankalpa, shraddha and anasakti. Sankalpa means a strong determination, I will not give up performance of this, but let whatever happen. Let rain come, shine come, whatever happens, that I am taking a vow before God, I will complete it. Second, shraddha, intense faith, it is going to give me higher type of happiness, definitely. Otherwise, motivation will not come. Then, anasakti. Anasakti means, totally the person must be indifferent to the results which otherwise would have come to him in this world. See, a rich man has to become a poor man by performing this kind of yajnas. If he is attached, then his gifts will not be appropriate. He will try to give what in Bengal they call that mosquito net-like towel. It is called pujari. Especially these towels are made for the sake of donating to pujaris. It will be like your fish nets. It doesn't serve the purpose of towel. But this person wants satisfaction of donating a towel. That's not going to work out. Second condition is meticulous performance. You should not neglect, oh, it is not there. You have to collect all the materials. And that is why he says in the story later on, how many bricks, in what way to be arranged, etc. Everything should be meticulous. As when we do Homa, you see everything. I don't know how many people do that. It has to be done meticulous. This is the second condition. Then third condition, the yajna, puja, ceremony must always be accompanied by appropriate dakshina. When these three conditions are fulfilled, then that yajna will yield the result. Now what is he doing? This person had sankalpa, shraddha, not anasakti. He has got lot of asakti. Secondly, meticulous performance he must have done. Thirdly, dakshina. What type of dakshina is giving? Inappropriate dakshina, because he has got tremendous attachment to other things. So then what happened? Shraddha avivesha, so amanyata. Nachiketa thought. But he thought, he analyzed the whole thing and he found out the problem. And now he wants to rectify so that if he is an ordinary meaning we take, my father is doing something wrong, as a result he will be the person to suffer. As a devoted son, it is my duty to rectify the defects and make him get the promised result. But according to our interpretation, if I want to be happy, then I have to perform. Because I have understood clearly that if I perform the way I am trying to perform, then not only I will not be happy, even the present happiness also will come to an end. So with this, we will stop today's class and we will proceed further. This beautiful Upanishad, Swami Vivekananda said, if any Upanishad is to be taught, it should be only Kathopanishad. But it doesn't mean other Upanishads are inferior. But this Upanishad, the story, the mantras that come there is very, very easy to understand in a way and also very beautiful in every way. We will continue in our next class. Om Sahana Vavatu Sahano Bhunaktu Sahaviryam Karavavahai Tejasvinavadhitamastu Mavidvishavahai. Om Shanti Shanti Shanti. Hari Om Tat Sat. Sri Ramakrishna Arpanamastu.